Not really sure how to transition into race, so let's just play the open, Sean, shall we?
I might as well have been a minor.
Tangle with the law. There's only one guy we call on to sort it all out. 680 The Fan's legal expert, Ray Giudice.
Can I sue him the way that minors actually sue the people who didn't give them the right oxygen mask?
You're like a stewardess back in the 60s, you know, stuck in a tube with 155 people smoking.
Remember those days?
Remember those days.
Smoking on airplanes.
I love how they had... Well, you could smoke over here on an airplane, right. But you can't smoke... What's the difference?
And don't worry, this curtain right here will take care of you smoking as opposed to those people not smoking.
That'll prevent anything from happening. I want to ask you real quick. The police fudging the report in the Chandler Jones case. I guess they took out a couple of facts there in Foxborough. But this synthetic marijuana, will it eventually be outlawed? Because we're hearing some horrific stories.
And what do you know about synthetic marijuana versus real weed?
It's a chess match between all the home scientists that are in basements in Texas and Arkansas, not to slur those states, but who are trying to stay one step ahead of the law in changing the chemical compounds that create synthetic marijuana and other synthetic drugs. LSD is a big one. The law has to set out the chemical components. You have to violate it. If you move a couple of molecules around or insert one and take one out that's not essential, in this case, to the THC or the effect of getting high, then you're one step ahead of the law until they go back every January like they are now, the legislators, and change the law to catch up. So that's the game that's being played.
What are you actually ingesting?
Junk. I have no idea. I mean, I'm not.
And it's not marijuana, right?
No, it's synthetic. It's supposed to give you the same impact, but it's not. I mean, it's hurting people.
But it's a bunch of man-made stuff kind of thrown together.
It's man-made
junk.
It really is chemical. Hemp is natural. I mean, I'm not trying to pick a political side.
Well, no, you're a lawyer.
Yeah,
I understand
you
can what
grow
you're
hemp
saying.
In the backyard. Can I take a personal thing and talk about this Chandler Jones case?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll segue to answer the police report. You know, and I was talking to Home Team on the way upstairs. This really is an example of great police work. I'm going to tell you why. In light of all the shootings and taserings and problems and law enforcement confrontations. Look what we have here. We have an officer who comes upon a large, muscular, semi-naked black man, I'm going to say it, in a parking lot, police parking lot, acting strangely. The officer on his own determines, unarmed, no crime here, this man needs medical help. I don't care why he needs medical help. Maybe he ingested something illegally. I'm going to treat this as a medical emergency. Let's get fire and rescue out here. That's darn good police work. So we don't have a tasering. We don't have a confrontation. We don't have Mr. Jones with a mugshot getting beat up and saying he was abused. He got treated. This is an NFL problem. The most illegality here might have been some sort of misdemeanor for having some synthetic substance in his personal possession in his home. So it didn't get escalated. Great police work. Now, the things that have come out of that police report, number one, it's not an arrest report, so it's not public record. It's a medical report for treatment through public safety, just like the EMTs or fire and rescue. Therefore, they're covered by some HIPAA regulations. That's the federal law about privacy regarding medical things. So certain of his personal information is taken out of that report. I don't think there's any fudging here at all. I'm going to say this is the officer of the month. That's what I'm going
to
say.
Well, that's a rare thing to hear.
A lot of bad stories.
But it's got to come out.
You're absolutely right. And Kudos to the officer in this case.
Whoever trained him properly, good. And he learned.
All right, so
it's a good story.
Let's go from one end of the spectrum to the other. Lawrence Phillips found dead in his prison cell, and he was on a suicide watch. I guess they were supposed to be checking on him twice an hour. How does something like this slip through the cracks?
All right, when you're in custody, you're entitled to pretty much the basics, three hots and a cot, as we sort of say. An orange jumpsuit, a pair of flip-flops, and you're not supposed to be put in a bad situation. So let's take the Rice Street Fulton County Jail. The seventh floor is reserved for the really bad people. Now, why they decided to put all the really bad people together and one floor may be another question, but they do. So you wouldn't take someone who's arrested in Roswell for a first offense DUI and put her up on the seventh floor. You, as Fulton County, may get some liability out of that because you've set up a standard, okay? That's what happens. When you set up a standard of care and you don't adhere to it, then you make yourself susceptible to liability. So by placing him on suicide watch, that means they should have had a minimum. There's some kind of a minimum standard in that state that says you've got to at least check twice an hour. You've got to have a checklist. You've got to have videotape, etc., who comes in, who comes out. If they fail to meet that standard and he commits suicide and something got into that room that he used to hang himself that he shouldn't have had, like there should be no belts in someone on suicide. Well, I'm not trying to be frivolous. Something that you can harm.
Well, it's common
yourself.
Sense. Yeah.
It's a stainless steel room. I mean, that's what it is. And you may use the restroom in a drain in the floor. I'm not trying to be crass. So if they didn't meet that standard, they may be susceptible to being sued.
Family members, namely, this would be his next of kin, Tunisa Murdoch, saying, I know for a fact he wouldn't have done that. I know him well enough to know that he would not commit suicide. He faced adversity his whole life, and during all those times, he said that suicide was never an option.
I put very little into that, however. I have known and have some friends that have committed suicide, and I said the same things after I found out they committed suicide. So I don't buy into that.
Well, it's also setting
I would
up where
never
saying,
have sexual relations yeah. with that woman.
But she's also setting up the possibility to understand that what you're calling suicide.
That's right. Could be something else.
Right.
That's right. So now if he was harmed in that supposedly airtight container yes. of a cell, there may be some liability there, too, is what Chris points out. A good point. But I think that. Again, the focus is going to be on what was his mental state of mind by the folks that were in custody, saw him in the 36, 24 hours prior to the incident, and how was he being monitored? It's just like there's a young lady, and we talked about police arrests. I believe it's in Texas. She stopped for a minor traffic violation. This is an educated woman working on either her master's or a PhD with no serious criminal record that is found having committed suicide in her cell. And, you know, there's some pretty good questions about what happened in that cell. Why would someone like that, who's got the world by the tail, you know, in theory,
off the
educated,
deep end.
And go off the deep end for a traffic violation, okay?
Right.
So these are hard, difficult questions. But last thing, the state of Georgia, every state has what's called sovereign immunity. The king is the sovereign. You have to have special permission across certain very high hurdles to be able to prevail in your lawsuit against the king. And sovereign immunity protects the state in many of these type of cases.
Finishing
very hard to get over.
With Ray Giudice, one of our legal experts here on 680 The Fan. Before we let you go, it might be a silly question, but with this $1.6 billion jackpot being won by, I guess, three different people, as far as we know right now, what do you need to do legally after you win the lottery?
Get a good tax group, get in there, get some good financial advice. You don't probably have to do anything but show your driver's license, and the state will give you a check. You check the box, I want it all now, or I want it in payments. The government's going to take its taxes out of it automatically. You're not going to really have to worry about it. What you're really trying to do is how can I pay fewer taxes on the money I get as we go into the next 50 years of my life? Put things in trust, set up trust for children, 529 plans. What's tax avoidable?
How can you ensure that the tax guy isn't a crook that's going to handle your money for you?
I can assure you. Oh, that guy? Well, you know, I always say go with the big people. You know, that
a trusted name.
Yeah, you know, a big trusted name. And there's all kinds of information online now and certifications. Don't go with your brother Al, you know, who's, hey, I got a hot tip.
Yeah, keep away from that piece of paper that says you have the attorney right to actually just cut checks and buy things.
Can I just bury it all in the backyard in coffee cans?
Hey, where it says Maxwell House, you know, that's what the Italians do.
Exactly.
You understand?
That's how we work.
I was thinking about this.
Cash, man. Cash only.
I don't know if I would have been able to get over the fear of getting out of the house with the ticket. Where do I hide it for the night? Do I stare at it all night? Where do I go at 8 o'clock? Like, honestly, I thought about that. Can you imagine?
Would you tell
not
anybody
what to do
if you won right away?
I guess you got to tell somebody. But the whole fear of the ticket itself, and where am I like for the night, or what am I doing as I drive someplace? Do I get somebody to drive me? It really is sort of a paralyzing thought.
I go from the security check-in with my ticket in my hand to the gate at the airport, and I somehow lose that ticket every time. And I know in my mind I'm trying to put it in the safest place, and I get there. It's like, where is it? It's not in the pocket. I can't get on the plane. It happens every time. So I would take a picture of it is what I would do, put it on my phone.
Very wise man. Now, if somebody needs you, what do they need to do for stuff like this and beyond?
Easy. Oh, the tax problem is great. 404-964-4185, the cell number I've had for years and years. Go to my webpage, go to the 680 The Fan web, renewed, exciting webpage, and go to my blog, and it'll take you to my webpage with all my contact information.